All right, we're going to continue our study through the Old Testament. We're up to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. So as we go through the Bible verse by verse from cover to cover, we're up to 1 Chronicles chapter 16 in the Old Testament. And remember, as we are studying these books of Chronicles, remember the Lord's using these books to encourage his people that are returning to the land. They've been in Babylon for 70 years, and now they're coming back. And to me, it's a real interesting study when we keep that in our mind. So I keep bringing that up because it really helps apply the scriptures not only to what they were going through, but it directly applies to us too. So we're going to start looking at today was a few lessons that the Jews were being taught by the last history lesson we saw in 1 Chronicles earlier. And like we said, these can directly apply spiritually to us too. So we're going to look at a number of these lessons. This is from the passages we went through last time, and there are some other principles in there that I wanted to pull out that apply to them. Like I said, it points to us too. First of all, David knew that his kingdom wasn't all about David. We mentioned that last time. Instead, he knew this was all about God's people, Israel. So the lessons for the Jews that were returning to the land were, number one, it's not about you, but it's about the nation of Israel. And secondly, God's going to bless you so that you can bless others. And that's an extremely important one to take in. We're going to see that some more as we go further even. Another lesson, when David heard that the enemy was coming for him, he didn't run and hide, but he went out and prepared to face them. So the returning Jews should expect some problems from their neighbors and their enemies even when they start to get settled in the land. And when the problems start, they should immediately take it to prayer and bring it before the Lord before they do anything else. So you don't need to run away when problems come. Take them directly to the Lord as soon as possible. We usually want to say, well, I've tried everything else. I guess I'll pray. And we should say, let's do this before we do anything. Let's pray, okay? Another one, when David heard their instructions from the Lord, he was ready to obey them. God gave him directions on going to battle, and the directions changed. But when David heard them, he was ready to obey them. So another great lesson for the Jews returning, hear and obey. Listen to the Lord, and then do what he says when he speaks to you. David had ordered his men to destroy all the idols that his enemies left behind so his men would not be tempted. And the returning Jews needed to really take that to heart too as they're coming back to the promised land. That land has been desolate, but they're surrounded still by pagan neighbors as they come back. So there's going to be idolatry around them. So anything that any idol that seems to turn up or show up while they're back in the land, they need to get rid of it quickly and permanently. Don't even let it hang around. So they were supposed to learn, too, that their enemies in the land might be persistent. And man, that is what happened in the history of Israel as it goes further. We'll see that. But they were not to allow them to steal their joy. And we've got that lesson, too, we talked about last time. Our enemy is persistent, but do not let him steal your joy. And that's where we encourage one another. So when you see that look in my face, say, whoa, 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 don't let the enemy steal your joy, okay? I've got a kind of a joke I've been saying lately to the family and others I think I've told too. I said, I have learned to be content in whatever state I'm in, except when I'm complaining. So that's that look. Say, brother, you're at it again. You need to be content. So that's what we need to learn from the Lord here. David knew that the Lord may use different tactics at times. So David had to pay close attention to what the Lord was telling him. We're going to see some of that even as we get in further today. So the lesson there was to pay close attention to the Lord, especially in stressful times. Because the Lord may be telling us something, we got to pay attention. And a lot of times he's not telling us to go the way we did last time. We need to try something different here according to his wisdom. So we got to listen to that. Another one, David was told by the Lord to wait for the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees. So the returning Jews needed to learn, you got to trust the Lord even when it doesn't make sense. And if you know, a lot of times you've been walking with the Lord for a while, a lot of times the Lord leads us to do things that don't really make sense, but he knows much better than we do. He knows the circumstances, he knows what's going on behind the scenes that we can't see. So we need to trust him when he leads us, even when it doesn't make sense. Another one, David also saw the Lord put the fear of the Lord upon all the nations around him. Now, what do you think the Lord is letting the returning Jews know that? So when they get in the land and they start feeling like all the darkness is starting to creep in, you know, we need to pray that God is going to put protection. It's going to be divine protection we get. And he can even put the fear of him on the people around us so we don't have to sweat anything. And that's true for us too, right? David organized and he appointed all the leaders for worship. And he gave them their proper positions of service. And they were supposed to do things just the way the Lord told them to in the law. Okay, he was going to make sure we do this right. Had problems last time. We want to do this exactly the way the Lord wants. So the returning Jews, they needed to learn to submit to the God-ordained authorities. I need to follow the Lord in every area of my life. No matter what it is, I need to listen to the authority he's placed over me, especially his word, his law. And we need to do that if we want to see God's blessing. So they needed to know that going back to the land. A few more here. David encouraged the people to celebrate the Lord's presence among them when they brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. So David wasn't saying we need a very somber time here to do this. He was saying, let's celebrate. We have the Ark, God's presence coming back in the midst of us here. Now we can have it as the center of our life. So there was a time for celebration. So that should encourage the returning Jews. You need to get this temple built so that all the rejoicing at the presence of the Lord can begin. So they needed to do that. And that was a big struggle they had when they got back to the land. We'll see that later on. The enemy did not want them in that place of worship. So he fought really hard to back them up. And it worked for a while. So this is a good encouragement as they're coming back to start with. Another one here. David learned that even the people that are closest to you can try to steal the joy of the Lord from you. So the returning Jews needed to take that to heart as well. That don't be surprised if someone right next to you that you really care about, that you've been walking with, all of a sudden is giving you a hard time because of your walk with the Lord, all right? And we don't blame them, as we said last time. Our enemy is the principalities and powers, the stuff going on behind them. They're just being a vessel that the devil is trying to tap into and use. So we don't take it out on them. We realize our warfare is a spiritual one. That's why we pray for our leaders and government. They're humans, they're people, and they've been deceived, and they're walking in deception. So we pray. They need their soul to be saved. Jesus died for them as well, even though they're pushing some very wicked things right now. We still got to pray and ask the Lord to move there. All right, let's get back into our passage. We're going to look at the end of chapter 15, because we stopped there last time we were in this chapter, and there's something we want to pick up here, because it's really, really important to grasp, I think. In chapter 15, if you back up a couple verses here, look at verse 26. We're going to jump in here. So it was when God helped the Levites who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord that they offered seven bulls and seven rams. David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, as were all the Levites who bore the Ark, the singers and Chenaniah, the music master with the singers. David also wore a linen ephod. Thus all Israel brought up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord with shouting, with the sounds of the horn, trumpet, cymbals, making music with string instruments and harps. So David now, he's not wearing his kingly robes, okay? So if you saw this procession, you might have a hard time figuring out, if you're new to the area, thinking, wonder who the king is, because he's wearing the linen, white linen garments that a priest would wear. So he didn't want to associate himself as stand out as being, you know, taking anything away from this procession that's to be focused on the Lord. He didn't want to have his robes and say, look at me, I'm the king or anything. So he wanted to associate with the priests who were the servants of the Lord at the temple. So David's wearing the same garments that like they would wear, okay? David was a very servant-hearted guy, and he was obviously down to earth in his relationship with the Lord. So you wouldn't see David put on any spiritual airs about him being more spiritual than others, although when we read the Psalms, man, we know this guy, man, he stood out for the Lord just by his heart, okay? Nor would you see him with an attitude of looking down on others. We don't ever see him doing that to anyone. So he wasn't a high and mighty type of guy, you know? His servant-like attitude is going to cause some real friction in his home, unfortunately. And we'll see that as we come back to the end of this chapter again in a minute. Look at verse 28 again. Thus all Israel brought up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord with shouting, with the sound of the horn, with trumpets, with cymbals, making music with string instruments and harps. Must have been a beautiful, beautiful sight. And it happened as the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came to the city of David that Michal, Saul's daughter, that's David's wife, she looked through a window and she saw King David whirling and playing music, and she despised him in her heart. And we saw that last time, and I mentioned there how the enemy can use someone very close to you and try to steal your joy. The Lord doesn't go into more detail here. If you go to the original story back in 2 Samuel there and you see more about it, she really laid into him when he came in. And the Lord didn't put all those here, but for those who knew the story, I'm sure this came back to their mind. So this is a good heads up for the people returning, the Jews there returning to the land, a good reminder that the devil doesn't mind playing dirty. You know, sometimes you might be shocked at how low he will stoop to try to do things his way, to discourage us and try to even turn those that are close to us against us. So just be aware the enemy works that way, that the Jews needed to know that who were coming back to the land. Now, for David, I said we had a few more things last time we wanted to talk about with this. David, he experienced one of the most painful things in his life here, being put down by someone you love. You know, and the reason he was being put down was because of his passion for and his devotion to the Lord. Can you imagine? Why in the world would you want to put somebody down for that? We know who's behind it. We get this from the world ourselves, so we understand. But when you just step back and look at that, it's like, God's making this a better person. Why would you be so upset about this? David wasn't abusive to her. He didn't beat her. He didn't drag her around. He didn't probably hardly ever, unless she really got him riled up, probably never even said anything harsh to her, I'm imagining. And she's all in her heart. She's really upset because he's not putting on the robes. He's not showing he's the king. He's lowered himself to be with these people in his presence, you know, worshiping with the Levites there. So here's David on probably the greatest day of his life because he gets to see this happen firsthand. You know, they're going to bring the Ark of the Covenant into the city of Jerusalem. So for him, it's like it doesn't get much better than this at this point. Okay, in this spiritual high where he's at, he gets blasted by his wife whom he loves. Okay, that's a real cheap shot by the enemy, and it's a very painful one. So if you have a deep passion and a love for the Lord, it's just good to know that it's possible you might get your heart broken when you get ridiculed because you love and honor the Lord. You know, but don't let anyone cause you to lessen your love for the Lord, no matter how close that person is to you. David, it hurt him deeply, but you wouldn't have known it watching him how he responded. We'll see that in a minute to the ark being brought in. Okay, so I'm sure it damaged him internally, but he wasn't going to let that stop his love and passion for the Lord. So we get a great lesson for that. So don't let anybody do that to you, you know, no matter how close they are. Keep your love for the Lord stoked up. Don't let it diminish. So this event, it hurt David badly, but he didn't allow it to weaken his devotion and love for the Lord. Now let's get into chapter 16 and see how he actually responded to the ark being brought there despite the personal things that were hitting him. So they brought the ark of God and they set it in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. It was just a tent, you know, nothing super fancy here. David had a place ready for it. It says, then they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. So here's this beautiful moment in Israel's history described for us very simply. They set the ark in its place. They offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. Now, these things are stated simply, but they're very powerful. So we're going to meditate on these a minute here. For one thing, they did these offerings, as it says here, before the Lord. I mean, think about this. They knew we're not going through some religious motion here, some ritual. We're doing this in the presence of the Lord. We're doing this for Him and with Him in our presence right here. So this reminds us that as believers, we have an unbelievably high privilege in this world. We can truly bring our worship before the Lord, and it will be fully accepted by Him. Even if a guitar string breaks, you know, we have to change guitars in the middle of worship there. The Lord is fine with that. It's our heart of worship, you know, and it's accepted. His arms are wide open to receive that. But people in this world who do not have a relationship with the Lord, and we were there at one time too, they can go through the motions of worship. They can even sound very religious in the way that they do things. But if they've never come to know Jesus, they cannot get to the Father with true worship for Him. You know, Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except through me. That includes worship. You cannot bring worship to God unless you know the Lord. There's no sense in it, okay? So it's like their attempt at worship isn't coming through. They're firing blanks. There's nothing happening. It doesn't count for anything. The Apostle Paul said about his own Jewish people, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And that word knowledge is talking about a relationship, that you really know someone. So they're coming to God, and they've got this zeal, and they've got the ritual, they even got the law of the Lord, of Moses, the law of the Lord, but they're not coming with the right heart. They don't have a relationship with God because they've not come the right way. So Paul went on to say, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Now let's look at this passage. There's more in that passage I want us to catch in Romans 10. So if you're with us in the scriptures there, you want to check it. Romans chapter 10. We're going to look at this a couple seconds here. Excuse me. Romans 10 and down to verse 14. And we're going to walk through this a little slow here to see the importance of having that relationship. It says, how then shall they call on him? This is Romans 10, 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How can they do that? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it takes faith to have that relationship with the Lord. And as Paul said about his own people, they didn't have the faith. They weren't trusting God. They weren't believing what he said to be true about his Messiah who had come. So they had no open avenue to truly worship the Lord. And think about this. It takes faith, okay? That means we believe that what God says to be true, and we rely on that with all of our heart. So when we say, Jesus paid for my sins, and therefore I am going to heaven when I die, then we're relying on the fact that that fact is true with all of our heart, because God said it, not because we came up with it or we think it's a nice idea. God said this, so we believe it with all of our heart. And when we have the real relationship with the Lord, then only we as true believers are able to lift our worship to the Lord, you know, and we know that it will go straight to Him. I mean, that's beautiful when you think about it. Wow. So that's what David here is leading the people to do in our passage back in 1 Chronicles 16. So if you want to turn back there again, we're still in verse 1. Another thing, it tells us there in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 1, they offered those specific offerings that are mentioned here. The first one was the burnt offering. That's the one where the entire animal was burned up when they brought this offering, okay? And that's the picture of surrendering everything to the Lord and not holding back anything. And the next offering that came after the burnt offering was the peace offering. Now, if you remember, that's the one where everybody gets a piece. The Lord gets a piece, the priest gets a piece, and the worshiper gets a piece of the animal that's being sacrificed. So it's the idea of eating together, and that's why it's also called the fellowship offering, because you're getting to enjoy the fellowship with the Lord, with the priest, with your brothers and sisters who know the Lord. So David here, he's leading the people by these offerings into surrendering to the Lord and then being able to enjoy the sweet fellowship with the Lord. So again, as believers, only we can totally surrender to the Lord. We're the only ones that can do that in the world. I don't know if you thought about that. We have this opportunity to say, Lord, I know you paid for me with your life. That's why when you tell me, surrender your life to the Lord in Romans 12, 1, it's like, I should do that. That's what it says. It's our reasonable service. It just makes sense. Christ gave his life completely for us. So we should be willing to say, Lord, take all of my life. Take it all. So only we as believers, we are the only ones truly able to do that. And Jesus made that all possible. He surrendered himself completely to the Father. He surrendered all the way, even to giving his life as a sacrifice for us, dying as a criminal in our place. Totally innocent, sinless, okay? But he made that possible. And as we look at David showing these offerings as such an important thing in the worship of the Lord, the burnt offering, the peace offering, these are reminders to the Jews that are coming back to the land that they need to surrender completely if they want to enjoy that sweet fellowship with the Lord and with each other. You know, isn't that something? So yeah, we could have that in the entire body of Christ. We're thankful for the family of God that we have here. Praise the Lord. As we've surrendered to the Lord, you find this bond that we have. We sense that family tie in Christ. And that's the way it should be all across the world with believers. It only happens if you fully surrender. When you do that, the Spirit fills us. This unity of the Spirit's there. Beautiful thing, beautiful. So David's trying to encourage him to do the same thing here, surrendering to the Lord with the burnt offering and then enjoying that fellowship with the peace offering. In our passage, verse 2, when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. It says, then he distributed to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to everyone a loaf of bread and a piece of meat and a cake of raisins. Excuse me. I love to see David's enthusiasm here, okay? He is riding super high, spiritual high with the Lord here. You can see his love for the Lord and for God's people. It's interesting if you just looked at this a second here. He blessed the people and then he handed out the food. You might have expected him to just hand out the food and bless the food. But he blessed the people, and then he handed out the food. Now, I don't know if all that was super intentional. It probably was, knowing David's heart. But, you know, his excitement, I'm thinking, he's just going, man. He's just running with the Lord here. And the Lord just coming out of him, blessings and everything else. He's handing out, he's giving, you know, the very thing the Lord does. But he was so excited about his own love for the Lord. And this joyous occasion, it's just blessing the people, you know. And I believe it was just the love for the Lord inside of David. It just kind of welled up and came out of him as a blessing for the people. I know that at the end of our service, it fills me with joy to be able to say to you, you know, Lord, bless you guys and have a great week with the Lord Jesus Christ. Those aren't just words I'm saying. I'm really asking the Lord just to bless you as you have your coming week, you know. And that is a joy to be able to do that. So I can appreciate David here just blessing the people, man, saying, Lord, bless you guys. And then he hands out the food. And that's pretty interesting. Notice something too here. He didn't just say, give the food to the families. But he said, his point was to make sure each person, and he's got here even the men and the women. Remember, the women were not looked upon, you know, too highly in the cultures back then. But it shows us God is into the person. He loves everyone the same, right? So David points out here, give this to the individual people. Every man, every woman, give an individual gift to the Lord. It's like salvation. It's not for the family as a whole. It's for each individual in the family. And look what the food here, look what it pictures, at least it does for me. The loaf of bread that they gave, a picture of Jesus being the bread of life. And the piece of meat, you know, a picture of Jesus being the Lamb of God. And then the cake of raisins, that's the sweet icing on the cake. That was dessert for them, okay? That reminds me of the sweetness and the joy of the Holy Spirit. So the message here to the returning Jews is to rejoice in that surrendered relationship with the Lord. David was calling them, the Lord was calling them through David's story, his history, come back to a place of rejoicing. Surrender to the Lord and enjoy the sweet fellowship. Verse 4 goes on, and he appointed some of the Levites to minister. So now the event is kind of coming to a close here. He appointed some of the Levites to minister before the Ark of the Lord to commemorate, to thank, and to praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph, the chief, and it gives us the name of all these guys, stringed instruments, harps, they made music with cymbals. Verse 6, these guys, the priest, regularly blew the trumpets before the Ark of the Covenant of God. So if you came in that area, you would hear this praise going on. So David here, he's setting things up for the long term. They just had a fantastic worship service bringing the Ark in, and now David is making sure the worship continues. Very important principle here. They just had this wonderful time together as they set the ark in place. But David wanted to make sure this open worship was going to continue on constantly. So he put these people in charge, and their job was to make sure that there was always praise going on at the tabernacle constantly. Now this was just a tent David set up for this very special purpose of having the ark. But he was making sure there was worship going on there all the time. That's beautiful. And for us as believers, think how this points to us here. The Lord commands us always to be open to the filling of the Holy Spirit. And if we do that, then we'll be, as it tells us in the New Testament, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're that tabernacle, right? The Lord tells us in the New Testament. So we can have that music always coming out of our life, out of our heart. There's nothing stopping that other than our selfishness, our pride. If we're walking in the flesh, you don't want to hear the tune that's coming out of us. But if we're in the Spirit, we're allowing the Spirit to control us, that worship will be sweet, that music will be sweet coming out of us, okay? So it should continually be part of us too, and it can happen if we're submitted to the Lord, allowing him to do that. So the returning Jews now, they were gonna be acknowledged again. You come back to this land, you have constant praise to the Lord. Have that constantly available there. Now, we got another section we could get into, but it's a longer section. It's beautiful. I just want you to catch something here. We're going to bring it up again, so don't get upset with me when I bring it up a second time. The next time we get a chance to dig in. But look at the end of chapter 16. I want you to see something here. It's really on my heart as we're going through this passage, and I think it's interesting. 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 43. Okay, so they had this tremendous event. It's come to the end of that big worshipful event. And it says, then all the people departed. I mean, David had blessed the people. They had set up worship to be constantly going on. All the people departed, every man to his house. Look what it says. And David returned to bless his house. David practiced this in his life. The worship wasn't going to end as he walked away. He took the worship with him when he went to his house, his home. He brought the worship with him. He was going to bring God's blessing into that place. Guys, I encourage you, take the Lord's worship into your home. Take it wherever you go. You know, allow the filling of the Spirit that He's always able to tap you on the shoulder, touch you in the heart, and say, I need you to do this. Go over here and do this. Talk to this person. Give this to someone. Whatever it is, be sensitive to that. Because, guys, I tell you, it makes a huge difference. Years ago, I told you this before, years ago, some of my kids, as they were getting older and stuff, they were talking to their friends they knew from churches we were in before, and they said, there's something different about your family. We don't know what it is, but there's just something different. And they were asking, what is it you guys do that's so different? And what they found out, because our kids were asking us, what do we do different? Because our friends really want to know. Talking to their friends, they said, our families are in church. We worship together. We hear the teaching of the word together. But when we go home, that's it till next Sunday. We don't talk about God at all in our home through the week. It's just saved for Sundays when we come to church. And my kids, you know, they said, and Lisa and I were asking ourselves this question, what do we do that's different? I don't even know. But it even showed up on our kids, you know, their kids, their friends know us. And that's the only thing we know. We were convicted a long time ago, you know, as our kids were starting to come and they were being born and stuff, that we got to be real with Christ every day. Because, you know, the safest place in the world for our children is to be walking with Christ. So if we're not living that before them 24/7, then there's a chance they might slip and they might wander away from the Lord and they may never come back. So we were convicted. We have to live the Lord every day. And I praise God for that conviction because it made a difference, which I wasn't really shooting for a difference. I was just wanting our kids to walk with Christ. And still, that's the prayer of my heart. So when I see this, what David did, he returned to bless his house. He wasn't leaving worship behind. He took it with him. Guys, if you've not done that before, I know it's going to be humbling to do that. But you take the Lord all the way through this coming week, if you've not done it, every day, every moment you can, and you'll be amazed at the difference. If you've not done that before, I pray and hope that you're just walking with the Lord all the time. I hope that any moment the Holy Spirit can say, I need you to do this. Boom, go do this. And you're open to do that. You know, sorry, guys. It's just an amazing thing we see here. And I hope, I trust that the Lord touched the people's lives coming back to Jerusalem with that same impact, that you have a chance to do things no one else can do. You can worship God every day. It doesn't have to be some holy event at some place. You can worship Him every day. So guys, we're blessed in Tesla. We have opportunities that no one else has that don't know Christ. And you know what? The majority of this world, they don't know Christ. Sad to say, they don't. So we got all these millions of abortions that blow your mind when you think about it. It's because they don't know Christ. So guys, we're blessed, but it's not just for us. Remember, the blessings to flow through us. So if anybody listening, either online or anywhere, doesn't know Jesus, today is the day I pray you trust Christ. He died on the cross for you. He shed His blood for you, that your sins might be completely washed away forever, forever. So for those of us who know Christ, let's praise Him for what He's done and what He's doing and continuing to do, and ask Him to just make us that open vessel to flow the blessings right through us. Let's pray. Father, we ask You, if anyone today doesn't know Jesus, let today be the day You just work in their heart. We pray, Lord, and ask You to do that a lot. We pray, please work on people's hearts. Change them to know Christ. And Lord, You've answered that prayer so many times. We continually lay that before You, Lord. We praise You, too, that You have made us a tabernacle. By receiving Christ, we now have Your Holy Spirit living in us, Lord. And we have this place of worship with us every single moment, and it will be forever, for eternity. So Lord, if there's someone here who has neglected that opportunity, if any of us have said, Lord, I just forgot about it, today, Lord, wake us up. Let us realize the important place we have in this world, And Lord, I pray as that worship wells up in us, that it just is that the light shines ever brighter coming from us. It is the light of Christ, it's not us. But Lord, if someone doesn't know Jesus today, speak to their heart, I pray. And for those of us that know you, we surrender afresh. We belong to you, Lord. Use us for your glory. And I thank you and give you back all the praise. In Jesus' precious name, amen.